The Old Testament reading for the last Sunday of the church year is written in Isaiah chapter 65. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is the Old Testament reading, Isaiah chapter 65. Chaucer, the author of the Canterbury Tales, penned, "To all things come an end, to the good things as well." That's what sin does. Brings good things to an end. God had warned Israel. God had warned Judah for centuries that unless you repent, I shall certainly destroy the land and take you into exile. Repent or bear the consequences of your sin. The covenant curses of famine, death, exile, drought, invasion, loss of life. And they refused to stop sinning. Therefore, God brought an end to all of his blessings. The Babylonian bulldozer came in and flattened the land. No more fruit trees. No more flocks. Only death. Only destruction. Day was turned to night. No fruitful and multiplying. Bounty turned into famine. All the good things that God had given, he now had taken away. Sin brought them to an end. And it was not very good. It was very bad. Sin brings things to an end. Sin brings things to death. To our lives. There's heart disease and there's dementia. And there's that final trip out to the cemetery. Dust to dust. There's an end to relationships. You get the cold shoulder. And then there's separation. And maybe divorce. Even to gardens, to animals, to houses, there's aphids. And there's mold, and there's termites, and there's everything else that goes on with home ownership. And in the hymn, "Abide with Me," we sing, "Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away, change and decay in all around I see." Sin makes absolutely no distinction in bringing death and destruction. It happens to poison ivy, it happens to tomato plants. It happens to young person, it happens to old person. It happens to gigantic stone monuments, and it happens to cheap plastic souvenirs. And then comes, and then comes to all things. Death comes to all. Good things come to an end. Now we try to stop death and decay. In the past 15 years, we have rebuilt El Camino Hospital, Stanford Hospital, Sequoia Hospital, Kaiser Permanente Hospital, Mills Hospital, and we're still getting sick. We inject our food with sodium nitrate and butylated hydroxynol. Yes, we do. We even try Botox and cream to preserve ourselves. And we pay veterinarians to care for our beloved golden retrievers and our tabbies. Now, we should battle against sin and death, disease and decay, because as Christians, we know that those things are fundamentally enemies in God's creation. But all of our dollars,
All of our wisdom, all of our technology will not stop any of that. They can't stop rot and decay and death. We certainly can't stop our sin. You can't walk down to CVS or Walgreens and buy a dosage of no sin pills. And even if we could possibly stop it in ourselves, which we can't stop it from other people coming into our lives, and certainly not the world. Sin brings things to an end, except for one thing, one very good thing: God's promises to you. For ancient Israel, even in the midst of their sin and destruction, God's word was still good. Very good. Though God had given to the Babylonians power to take away life and limb, goods, fame, child, and wife, the Babylonians and death had won nothing whatsoever. Sin and death may take away our goods, fame, child, and wife, but they can never revoke God's promises. For you today, his word is still good. It is very good. No matter how the high priests accused Jesus of blasphemy, a sin worthy of death, no matter how Pontius Pilate would deliver Jesus over to that instrument of death, Jesus remained absolutely resolute, knowing that accusation and his death and his burial would not destroy God's promise. Our Father piled upon Jesus our sin to crush him, to deprive him of life. Our Father poured death into Jesus' body, our iniquity, our disease. Follow that trail of blood, where his end is marked by sin's exclamation points of a cross, a crown of thorns, and spikes. This is not the image of God. This is the image of sin and death. And all the good things he had in his life, he willingly gave them up into death, all things to be removed. For the unsurpassed glory of God's promises, he surrendered all that man could take, all that sin could take, all that death would swallow up. Wrath of God offers no blessing. Wrath of God only offers up death and damnation. But in this abandonment of Jesus, in this cursing of Jesus, when all good things were taken away, when the lifeless body was removed from the cross, when there were only tears, when creation itself shuddered in darkness, that is when sin and death lost their power to bring you to an end. For your sin has now been judged. The man Jesus died in your place. God's wrath expended upon him and not you. The old things, sin, accusation, guilt, shame, your evil, your pain, they've all been condemned. God has not destined you for wrath. But to obtain eternal salvation in Jesus. And now, with the old things having been judged, the new things will certainly come forth in Christ by the power of the Spirit. Jesus' resurrection is the first fruits of the harvest of the new heavens and the new earth. The death he died is the death of death. But the life he lives is the promise of your eternal life. Since you were baptized, the promise, this very good word, belongs to you, to your body, to your spirit. So consider yourselves dead to sin, dead to old things, but alive to the new things in Christ Jesus. We gather here as Christians, children of the Father, longing for the revelation that these bodies belong to God, and he will say that at the last day when he raises us up from those cemeteries and says, "These are my people." The Babylonians couldn't do it with siege machines and swords. The grave couldn't do it to Jesus. What could do it to you? Can anything deprive you of God's promise? Will a week in the hospital? What about 5 months on unemployment? What about uncertainty about President-elect Trump? Will questions about your school or these months without a called pastor? What about demographic changes in San Mateo? No, because Jesus has been raised. You have the sure word of this in communion. This is the New Testament in my blood. He says, "I confirm with my own life that God's promises to you remain unalterable. Taste of this meal and know that God's promise to you is very good." This is the foretaste of the feast to come, of the new heavens and the new earth. The word of God is good for you. This new creation we confess in the creed. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Jesus is the first fruits. The time for the rest of the harvest, not yet. This is a foretaste, not quite yet the banquet. And we say, "I believe, not I see, and I touch." In Scripture, these present days before the end are called an evil age, because with our eyes we see the apparent victory of a tombstone, of death, of dust. All the good things easily and quickly pass away. That's why we call this a veil of tears. And nobody will dispute that. But our Father doesn't say, "Ponder your sorrow." He says, "Hold on to my promise." So we don't believe in progress. We believe in a promise that neither death nor life, nor anything else in all of this old dying creation will ever separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. We have a promise. The same God who saved us in the body and blood of Christ will bring us home. We have a hope based upon Jesus' body being raised from the grave, that God will remake these bodies at the last day. This is not optimism. This is faith established by our Lord's death and resurrection. So when the good things of life pass away, when you find mold someplace, or rust on the underbody, or rot someplace in the garden, when your orange trees are bare and your budget is bleeding red, keep your hearts fixed on Jesus. One good thing has no end: his promises. In about 4 weeks, you'll sing this. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. Joy to the world. The new Jerusalem, you are for a rejoicing. And God will purge this world of fear, death, and insecurity, and remake it with security, joy, love, and kindness. Isaiah compares this recreation to something we can understand, a land under attack to a land that is secure, to something we have great difficulty grasping, cemeteries to life in the body in God's presence. Isaiah then sees the time when we will have peace and security, the time when we will not be threatened by enemy or hardship. The evils that crush and cripple us now will not be then. Our work will never again be in vain. We won't be sitting around on clouds, strumming harps. And we won't be on cushions eating Vespucci's pasta all day long. We will be doing work that will endure, and it will praise God. God created us to participate, to develop, to garden, to serve in his creation. And we have the promise of a face-to-face conversation with our Father in heaven. He will hear and know our needs far more quickly than we even perceive now by promise. Our glorious restoration will be like the Garden of Eden. And this recreative act will affect everything. Ox, mountain lions up in the preserves. From top to bottom, everything will enjoy God's recreative act of grace. And at the center of this new heavens and the new earth will be Zion, the very presence of God himself and his healed people. You will be the delight of God's heart. All good things must come to an end? No. Through our Lord's death and resurrection, all evil has lost its power. All sin, all evil, all death, they shall come to an end. And all the good things, the new heavens and the new earth, they already have their beginning in Christ Jesus, and they will never end. Encourage one another and build up one another with these kind of words. In Jesus' name, amen.